I think that what's happening to me is so wonderful. And I don't just mean the changes taking place on the outside of my body, but also those on the inside. I never discuss myself or any of these things with others, which is why I have to talk about them to myself. Whenever I get my period, and that's only been 3 times, I have the feeling that in spite of all the pain, discomfort, and mess, I'm carrying around a sweet secret. So even though it's a nuisance, in a certain way, I'm always looking forward to the time when I'll feel that secret inside me once again. Sis Heister also writes that girls my age feel very insecure about themselves and are just beginning to discover that they're individuals with their own ideas, thoughts, and habits. I'd just turned 13 when I came here, so I started thinking about myself and realized that I've become an independent person sooner than most girls. Sometimes, when I lie in bed at night, I feel a terrible urge to touch my breasts and listen to the quiet, steady beating of my heart. Unconsciously, I had these feelings even before I came here. Once, when I was spending the night at Jacques's, I could no longer restrain my curiosity about her body, which she'd always hidden from me and which I'd never seen. I asked her whether, as proof of our friendship, we could touch each other's breasts. Jacques refused. I also had a terrible desire to kiss her, which I did. Every time I see a female nude, such as the Venus in my art history book, I go into ecstasy. Sometimes I find them so exquisite I have to struggle to hold back my tears. If only I had a girlfriend. Thursday, January 6th, 1944. Dearest Kitty, my longing for someone to talk to has become so unbearable that I somehow took it into my head to select Peter for this role. On the few occasions when I have gone to Peter's room during the day, I've always thought it was nice and cozy. But Peter's too polite to show someone the door when they're bothering him, so I've never dared to stay long. I've always been afraid he'd think I was a pest. I've been looking for an excuse to linger in his room and get him talking without his noticing, and yesterday I got my chance. Peter, you see, is currently going through a crossword puzzle craze, and he doesn't do anything else all day. I was helping him, and we soon wound up sitting across from each other at his table, Peter on the chair and me on the divan. It gave me a wonderful feeling when I looked into his dark blue eyes and saw how bashful my unexpected visit had made him. I could read his innermost thoughts, and in his face I saw a look of helplessness and uncertainty as to how to behave, and at the same time, a flicker of awareness of his masculinity. I saw his shyness and I melted. I wanted to say, "Tell me about yourself. Look beneath my chatty exterior." But I found that it was easier to think up questions than to ask them. The evening came to a close and nothing happened, except that I told him about the article on blushing. Not what I wrote you, of course, just that he would grow more secure as he got older. That night, I lay in bed and cried my eyes out, all the while making sure no one could hear me. The idea that I had to beg Peter for favors was simply revolting, but people will do almost anything to satisfy their longings. Take me, for example. I've made up my mind to visit Peter more often and, somehow, get him to talk to me. You mustn't think I'm in love with Peter, because I'm not. If the Van Dans had had a daughter instead of a son, I'd have tried to make friends with her. This morning, I woke up just before 7 and immediately remembered what I'd been dreaming about. I was sitting on a chair and across from me was Peter. Peter Schiff. We were looking at Mary Boss's sketchbook. The dream was so vivid I can even remember some of the drawings. But that wasn't all. The dream went on. Peter's eyes suddenly met mine, and I stared for a long time into those velvety brown eyes. Then he said very softly, "If I'd only known, I'd have come to you long ago." I turned abruptly away, overcome by emotion, and then I felt a soft, oh so cool, and gentle cheek against mine, and it felt so good. So good. At that point, I woke up, still feeling his cheek against mine and his brown eyes staring deep into my heart, so deep that he could read how much I'd loved him and how much I still do. Again, my eyes filled with tears, and I was sad because I'd lost him once more, and yet at the same time glad because I knew with certainty that Peter is still the only one for me. It's funny, but I often have such vivid images in my dreams. One night I saw Grammy so clearly that I could even make out her skin of soft, crinkly velvet. Another time Grandma appeared to me as a guardian angel. After that it was Hanalei, who still symbolizes to me the suffering of my friends as well as that of Jews in general, so that when I'm praying for her, I'm also praying for all the Jews and all those in need. And now Peter, my dearest Peter, I've never had such a clear mental image of him. I don't need a photograph. I can see him oh so well. Yours, Anne. Friday, January 7th, 1944. Dearest Kitty, I'm such an idiot. I forgot that I haven't yet told you the story of my one true love. When I was a little girl, way back in kindergarten, I took a liking to Sally Kimmel. His father was gone, and he and his mother lived with an aunt. One of Sally's cousins was a good-looking, slender, dark-haired boy named Opie, who later turned out to look like a movie idol and aroused more admiration than the short, comical, chubby Sally. For a long time, we went everywhere together, but aside from that, my love was unrequited until Peter crossed my path. I had an out-and-out crush on him. He liked me, too, and we were inseparable for one whole summer. I can still see us walking hand in hand through our neighborhood, Peter in a white cotton suit and me in a short summer dress. At the end of the summer vacation, he went to the 7th grade at the middle school, while I was in the 6th grade at the grammar school. He'd pick me up on the way home, or I'd pick him up. Peter was the ideal boy, tall, good-looking, and slender, with a serious, quiet, and intelligent face. He had dark hair, beautiful brown eyes, ruddy cheeks, and a nicely pointed nose. I was crazy about his smile, which made him look so boyish and mischievous.